Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining 60 minutes of your day is underway. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live on the campus of Michigan State University inside of Studio S on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Hope you guys have an umbrella. It is a wet one here in mid-Michigan. You know that old saying, right? You know what? April showers bring May flowers. Well, it's May 3rd, 2018. We did not get a lot of rain last month, so I guess we're getting hammered right now, right? And it looks as though next week is going to be a little wet as well. That could affect numerous baseball games across the state of Michigan, specifically here in mid-Michigan, right? That's what you care about. So, again, stay dry. We plan on entertaining you all throughout the next 60 minutes here on WKAR's Current Sports. We will have two guests coming right at you. Our first guest who will be joining us in a matter of minutes is Jeremy Sampson, president and CEO of Lansing United, Lansing's very own minor league soccer team. This year is really a year that we'll look back on the history of this franchise and say this year was a game changer, because Lansing United, the men's soccer team, will be playing in an entirely different league with greater competition. And this will be the first year that Lansing United will have a women's team. How cool is that? They had a jersey reveal last night at Meridian Mall, as they, of course, have been in partnership with Moneyball Sportswear, the brainchild of Desmond Ferguson, local basketball stud, Moneyball. You see Moneyball everywhere now. I just find myself, even when I'm at the gym, just people rocking Moneyball here, Moneyball there, even in Detroit. It's a huge brand, and Jeremy Sampson's Lansing United team has been in partnership with Moneyball Sportswear, and they revealed the 2018 jerseys. Very cool stuff. We'll talk about the jersey reveal with Jeremy. Also, the establishment of a women's team, how that came about, and the new league of competition for the men's soccer team. You don't want to miss that. That's coming at you in just a moment. And then for segment B, we have Tony Towns, Michigan State University alum from Flint, Michigan, who is now a writer, producer, actor, and host. The dude does it all out in LA's entertainment industry. You don't want to miss the chat that we have with Tony. We will pick his brain on multiple topics. Of course, you'll get to hear what his journey has been like, how he even, you know, moved to LA, how that whole thing came about, moving to LA and dabbling in the entertainment industry. He's interviewed some pretty big names. He's got his own YouTube show that is very entertaining, to say the least, and he weighs in on everything. And I'm going to specifically have a conversation with him pertaining to one of his episodes that center on the NFL protest and Colin Kaepernick. You don't want to miss that. That will be segment B. And then on the back end of the show, as promised throughout the week, we'll finally get to that Darius Bazley story that has the college basketball world very intrigued, because Bazley has decided to skip college and go to the G League to try and make his NBA dreams come true. So a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the fun, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via social media. Just simply go to Facebook.com /WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. You can comment below the video, and you can weigh in via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. This is one of my favorite local events to cover. That's right, the softball classic field has been set. The Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame Softball Classic will begin on May 14th at Rainey Park. DeWitt is a part of the field. The Panthers entered today with a 7-4 mark, are in the field for the first time since finishing as runner-up to Lakewood in 2016 after falling in the 14-inning title game. Eden Rapids and Grand Ledge will head this year's field. Eden Rapids, actually defending champion, is off to a 13-3 start to the season. The Greyhounds will be in pursuit of their 7th Softball Classic Championship in 10 years. Grand Ledge is 13-2. Again, the runner-up last spring, trying to win the tournament for the first time since 2005. Other teams, you know, Fowlerville and Stockbridge, also Olivet and Perry. So, going to be fun stuff. I love covering the Softball Classic. Of course, Current Sports will be out there providing game-by-game coverage for you all via the two-minute drill. But again, mark down your calendars. May 14th at Rainey Park, the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame Softball Classic will get underway. All right, keeping it pushing from there, MSU to the NCAA. Yeah, they have actually, when it comes to Michigan State and this whole, you know, the Larry Nassar situation, Larry Nassar sexually assaulting at least 25 MSU student athletes, Michigan State is saying there were no NCAA violations. That's what MSU has told to the college athletics governing body. In January, during Nassar's Ingham County sentencing hearing, the NCAA sent MSU a letter regarding potential rules violations related to Nassar's crimes. The university responded on March 22nd in a letter from attorney Mike Glazer from the law firm Bond, Schoenig & King to the NCAA's vice president of enforcement. Glazer listed the current ongoing investigations of the university, including those by the Michigan Attorney General's Office, U.S. Congress, and the U.S. Department of Education. The letter recapped a meeting and phone calls involving MSU and NCAA officials that refined the issues the university needed to address in its response. It also stated that the university is committed to NCAA bylaw 20.9.16, which covers the well-being of student athletes, including their health and safety, but notes that bylaw is a guideline and not subject to enforcement. So we'll follow that story as it unfolds. All right, a judge has ruled prosecutors can admit as evidence two previous rape accusations against former Michigan State University football player Austin Robertson. The 20-year-old Robertson faces two counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct in a case that dates back to April of last year. That's when he allegedly assaulted a woman in her apartment. Ingham County Judge Clinton Kennedy III on Wednesday ruled two incidents, one in 2013 and the other in 2014, will be admitted as evidence. That's because women told police Robertson pulled down their pants and used force to rape them. Their descriptions are similar to the alleged attack for which Robertson is being tried for. Defense attorney David Rosenberg argued none of the evidence should be admitted because they were overly prejudicial in his to his clients, I should say. Now, Michigan State spokeswoman Emily Garrett said in a statement the university was unaware of the previous sexual assault cases. Congratulations to Casey Lubon and the Michigan State men's golf team, who will take part in the NCAA Columbus Regional. It was announced last night when the NCAA released the entire 81-team field for the NCAA championships. The Spartans are the number 11 seed in the region, which will take place May 14th to the 16th at the OSU Scarlet Course. The Spartans are making their third consecutive NCAA regional appearance. The Spartans were one of five Big Ten teams selected to compete in the NCAA regionals, joining Illinois, Northwestern, Penn State, and Purdue. All right. The war of words between Golden State and former Michigan State men's basketball star Draymond Green and TNT analyst Charles Barkley finally came to an end.
I apologize to Draymond Green and his mom. Listen.
Why his mom?
Well, because she tweeted.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
You know, you're one of those idiots who tweet, so I don't pay attention.
Listen, I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know his mom tweeted.
So, you know, Ernie, what I said was inappropriate. I would never punch an NBA player. I meant what I said. But I would never punch an NBA player. Draymond Green's a good player. I think he's a nice kid. I wish him nothing but the best. But what I said was inappropriate. And I got guys who are mentors to me. I wrote down here. They called me today and told me what I said was inappropriate. Derek Stafford, Jason Whitlock, and Mike Wilbon. They're my mentors and big brothers. What I said was wrong and inappropriate. I appreciate them reaching out to me. You know what? My personal opinion should never come across in a comment I make about a team or a player. It did last night. Draymond is a hell of a player. He's an irritant. He annoys me at times, but he's a hell of a player. But what I said was wrong, and I apologize.
How about that? Charles Barkley just saying, hey, man, my bad. I apologize. I shouldn't have said I wanted to punch Draymond Green in the face. He apologized again, as you just heard, not only to Draymond, but also Draymond's mother. If you missed yesterday's Current Sports, we debated this whole thing, and I had absolutely no problem with what Charles Barkley had to say. It ruffled a lot of feathers. If you missed my take on that, just simply listen to yesterday's Current Sports, which you can listen to at WKAR.org. All right, how about the Detroit Tigers winning in thrilling fashion last night? If you missed it, here's Dan Dickerson on the call.
Lead off triple for Jacoby Jones in the 12th. Hicks at the plate, and they're going to overshift on John Hicks. So the right side of the infield is pretty wide open. First pitch to Hicks is squeezed to the right side. Jacoby Jones coming home. Tigers win! They execute the squeeze perfectly. Everybody pours out of the dugout to mob Hicks by first base. A perfect bunt single.
All right, there you have that again. Dan Dickerson on the call last night. John Hicks with a bunt. A walk-off bunt to give the Tigers a 3-2 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. That bunt single scored Jacoby Jones in the 12th inning. That was thrilling stuff. You don't normally see a bunt to win the game. And Detroit Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire actually, you know, he said he would have loved to take credit for calling that bunt, but he didn't. Hicks basically said, I'm taking this game in my own hands. There's a bunt. Game over. Put the babies to bed. Love that. Exciting stuff last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, I should say. That's when that game took place. All right. Instead of a record 16th season with America's team, Jason Witten is going to spend his Monday nights talking to the whole country about the game of football. In the NFL, the longtime Dallas Cowboys tight end has been weighing retirement against starting his broadcasting career. An ESPN report today says that Jason Witten has decided to join Monday Night Football. After 15 years and 239 games played, Witten has nothing left to prove on the field. He's a lock to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame someday in Canton. But there also was some financial incentive to fill John Gruden's old shoes at ESPN. If Witten had played for my Dallas Cowboys, his base salary would have been $1.05 million with incentives that could come close to doubling that. ESPN reportedly has been offering him $4 million per season. Dollar bill, y'all. He'll be paired with Joe Tessitore, who replaces Sean McDonough on the mic. All right, and a quick update when it comes to NHL and NBA playoff action. Last night, it was just one game in the NBA world. The Utah Jazz over the Houston Rockets, a 116-108 final there. That series is tied at one game apiece now. And Donovan Mitchell, why aren't you wearing a Detroit Pistons jersey? He was absolutely fantastic last night yet again. And also, the Utah Jazz did this without Ricky Rubio. Very impressive stuff. That's going to be a very entertaining series tonight. Cleveland and Toronto at 6 p.m. Game 2. Cleveland leads that series 1-0. Also, the Philadelphia 76ers will take on the Boston Celtics. Boston leads that series 1-0. That will be an 8:30 p.m. tip time. And also in the world of the NHL playoffs, we saw the Lightning top the Bruins 4-1. Tampa Bay now leads that series 2-1. And also the Golden Knights stunned in a loss to the Sharks 4-0 last night. That series is now tied at 2 games apiece. Today you can catch the Capitals and Penguins. Puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. Washington leads that series 2-1. Also the Predators and Jets will be scheduled for a 9:30 p.m. puck drop tonight as Winnipeg leads that series 2-1. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
PSL is, you know, has been a good place for us to be as far as the level of play. But the PDL, what that change does is it attracts players who are the top college players around the country, who are guys that are prospects to be drafted, but also just top prospects. It's the league that is it's a league where the best players want to play in. And so just by being affiliated with the PDL, it's us in a good position. But again, we'll be now competing against teams with very, very talented rosters. So it's an exciting step, but again, a challenging one, just because we're ratcheting up the level of competition for players and then competition on the field.
All right, let's get right to it and invite our first guest here on this Friday Eve edition of WKAR's Current Sports. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. Head coach and general manager Nate Miller returns for his third season at the helm of Lansing United. You just heard his voice there. He owns a 10-11-5 record in league play with United and guided the Spring Arbor University men's soccer team to its first ever NAIA. That was Nate commenting on the news of United after spending its first four seasons in the National Premier Soccer League, now playing in the Premier Development League this summer. The PDL is the highest level of pre-professional soccer in North America and is an important stepping stone for aspiring professionals. United, which announced the league switch in October, will compete against 73 other squads, 12 of which hold a partnership with an MLS or USL club for the PDL title. To talk about that news and so much more, again, Lansing United also establishing a women's soccer team for this season as well. They had a jersey reveal last night. Right now, to talk about all of that jazz and so much more is the president and CEO of LanU, my man 50 Grand, Jeremy Sampson. Welcome to Current Sports. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Al. Good to talk to you again, and thanks for having me on today.
Always good chatting with you. So I want to start here, Jeremy, moving to the PDL. How long has that been on your radar, Jeremy?
A couple years. We looking at the ever-changing landscape of soccer in this country and how things are developing all the time. In the National Premier Soccer League was a great place for us to kind of get started. But at looking at things and looking at players and where they wanted to be. And at the end of the day, Al, really what we're doing is we're in this for the players. We're in this to give them a platform along with the colleges and universities that they play for, but to give them a platform to be seen by professional teams, because many of these guys have dreams of playing at the next level. And being in the PDL, as you heard Nate say, really their slogan is Path to Pro. You know, it's 70% of the draft picks in the last couple of years from Major League Soccer in the first couple of rounds have all played in the Premier Development League. And so for us, it's an opportunity that we can give our players where they can be seen and give them the best opportunity to continue their careers after college.
Well, that's a very high percentage, Jeremy. And now the kind of competition, what kind of competition are we talking about in the PDL in comparison to the National Premier Soccer League, which you all were previously a part of?
Yeah, you're just talking about more high-level Division I players. I mean, I think in the NPSL, we all had a sprinkling of some Division I players here and there. But you look at the kind of players that we were able to bring in this year and have been able to keep from years past, you're just talking about more high-level Division I guys.
Now, you've also, as I mentioned, established a women's team. Very exciting stuff there. What fell into place to allow you all to establish a women's squad, and how does that further expand the Lansing United brand?
Well, I think it's something that I had thought about from the very beginning of starting the men's team is, you know, when is the right time to be able to start a women's franchise? And really with four solid years under our belt, you know, we felt like we had a really good idea of how to run the day-to-day of a soccer operations. And then it's, again, finding the right dance partner in the right league that has some other teams that are close to you so that your travel budget isn't overwhelming for you at the end of the day. So we feel very fortunate to have landed in the United Women's Soccer League, and we've got some great travel partners in the state of Michigan and Detroit, Brighton, Grand Rapids, just to name a few, and Genesee County up in near Flint. So, we're really excited to get that going. And on a personal note, Al, you know, I have a 13-year-old daughter at home, and she is a soccer player. And as a dad, pretty important for me to let her know that she has the same opportunities that the boys do.
I love that. So this means more than just establishing a women's team for you. I mean, you look at your daughter and say, look, I want to show you an example of where you could possibly be if you continue at this sport, right?
Yeah, it's for her and every single other, you know, little girl who's playing soccer in this area, and there are a lot of them. And really, when you look at even at the high school level, Al, there are many more high-level women's players in mid-Michigan than there are men's, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But there are more high-level women's players that go on to get college scholarships and play it at the Division I, Division II, Division III level, even NAIA, than there are on the boys' side. So it's not just for her, but it's to show all of those young ladies who are out there playing that you're right, there is something that that they can aspire to get to if they keep working hard.
Without a doubt. Great message there, Jeremy. And when it comes to the women's squad, I mean, you guys are going to hold a tryout, I believe, this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, the tryout actually is going to have to get postponed due to some unforeseen circumstances within the organization this weekend. We're going to have to put that on hold. But we do have a really good roster set, I think. As I talked to Jason Christ, who is our head coach, and like Nate Miller, he also coaches at Spring Arbor, and Jason's coming off two NAIA national championships over the last 3 years. Is as good a coach as there is anywhere, not only in the state of Michigan, but anywhere in the country. And talking to him as he's put the roster together, you know, we were talking the other day, and we're at about 28 players right now. And as I went down the roster, half of them either have ties to the mid-Michigan area, either having played here locally in high school or play for Michigan State, which is exactly how we wanted to set that roster up, so that it gives the people in our community an opportunity to see those kids who grew up right here. And we're really, really excited that we've been able to build a roster with half, or if not even hopefully a little bit more, of that roster being hyper-local.
Love that. Strong local ties. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jeremy Sampson, president and CEO of Lansing United. You know, Jeremy, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend last night's jersey reveal, but I saw a ton of pictures on social media. They are very slick, very, very just fashionable. I love the look that you guys have. Can you tell us a bit about the jerseys, again, which were revealed last night? I know that Sparrow Health Systems and the United Dairy Industry are sponsors. What do they look like? Now, I know this may be a challenge because this is radio, right?
It is. We invite everybody to check out our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, to really look at all the pictures from last night. And yes, Al, I know you had something that came up, and we certainly missed you there last night. I think the one thing for us, for me especially, you know, the first couple of years we worked with a distributor who helped us, and Nike, you know, was our distributor, and at the end of the day, I felt like we were just a piece of their cookie cutter, and that we kind of looked a lot like some other teams. And so, you know, Desmond Ferguson from Moneyball here locally contacted me and said, hey, you know, what would you think about a partnership with us? And really, I got intrigued the more he talked, for a couple reasons. One, it's a local company, and for us to do business with another local company, I think sends a very strong message. And two, everything that Money does is fully customizable. So when you look at our uniforms, there is nobody anywhere in the soccer world, anywhere in the world, that looks like we do. And for me, it's really cool to be different and have our own unique look. So it, just a brief description, the home jerseys for both the men and the women have our traditional hoops look with the horizontal stripes, the white and blue horizontal stripes. Our men's jersey has five actually smaller stripes in the that create a larger stripe, and that's to signify our fifth season. And then on the women's side and the men's side, our away jerseys, we went with more of a red base, but then also adding in some of the navy blue and the lighter blues of our colors. So Jeff Sykes, who works at Moneyball and is also a big supporter of Lansing United, did all of the design work, and he absolutely knocked it out of the park. And yes, again, my thanks to both Sparrow and to the United Dairy Industry of Michigan, who are our sponsors for the men's team and the women's team this year on the front of the jerseys.
So Jeremy, when it comes to Sykes' design, I mean, did you guys kind of sit down? Did you sit down with Sykes and say, you know what, this is what I want symbolized in the design of the jersey? What was that collaborative process like when trying to come up with those designs that you just detailed?
It's one of the most fun things that I get a chance to do. You know, we do a new jersey every 2 years. We're just on a 2 year cycle. That's how we do things. Mm-hmm. Jeff does such a great job. I give him a lot of freedom and just say, look, create some designs and then let's take a look at them. And we end up kind of working from there. So I try not to stifle his creative process at all by saying, here's what I'm looking for. He kind of knows, I think, my style by now, which is a little bit more classic, maybe clean cut, some straight lines, perhaps nothing too outlandish when it comes to the jersey. So he gave me 20 different options between the men and the women, which was great. And then from there, it was just whittling down really what we liked,
right,
and adding some things from maybe one set to another to really fill out the entire kit.
Absolutely amazing. I've always been intrigued when it comes to that process and 20 options. That's a lot of options, Jeremy.
It is. But you know, it's fun. It's fun to go through, and I involved the kids in this one. Actually, my daughter was instrumental in creating and picking out the away look this year that the women have. And Al, if you remember 2 years ago, I wanted to find a creative way that we could pay homage to our supporters and really do that when we go on the road. And so we took photos that we had of our fans, and we superimposed those into the numbers on the back of our road jerseys to signify taking our fans with us when we go on the road. Jeff told me that was a very tedious and difficult process, and he would rather not have to go through that again to put those pictures in there. So we tried to brainstorm another idea and came up with actually taking our season ticket holders' names and those people who are very important to the club. Mm-hmm. And so their names are actually on the jerseys, the away jerseys, for both the men and the women. They're in different places, but if you're a season ticket holder or, again, somebody who's been with us for 5 years, your name is on that jersey, which, again, we want to signify to our fans that when we go on the road, we're taking you with us, and really you're always with us no matter whether we're at home or on the road.
That is an amazing customizable tidbit that are on those jerseys, Jeremy. All right, before we get you out of here, Jeremy, you know, both teams will open up the season next week. It has now been, 4 years since you all played your first season, and the franchise has just steadily continued to grow. You were a former sports anchor and reporter here in the area before transitioning to, of course, United. Do you now feel like, Jeremy, you are living in your purpose?
Boy, that's a tough, I think so. Somebody asked me the other day, kind of what my biggest accomplishment is, if you will, over these past, 4 years, five seasons now. And mm-hmm. I think for me, Al, it's just that we've been able to make this thing go. When you start something new, like we did, it's something where you hope you've done your homework and you realize what it's going to take to be successful, but you're never really sure, right? You're never really sure what that's going to be like, what that's going to look like. The community here in mid-Michigan has just done a tremendous job of supporting us and allowing us to do what we do, not only from a fan perspective, but also on the corporate sponsorship side. The number of businesses and corporations in our area who have supported us really allow us to do what we do. So I'm still having fun doing it, and we're always, though, looking for ways that we can get bigger and better, and I think that comes from a little bit of my athletic background is, coaches, as you know, are never satisfied, right? You could win the national championship in whatever sport, but you can't rest on those laurels, right? You've always got to find a way each and every year to get a little bit better and strive for something more, and we continue to do that with Lansing United, even though we're getting ready for year number five.
It's incredible the job that you have done and continue to do, Jeremy. For our listeners out there that want to go out and catch a game and get their hands on some tickets and maybe even some gear, how can they do so? How can they find out more information, Jeremy?
Yeah, thanks, Al. The best place to do that is on our website, which is www.lanunited.com, lanunited.com. Got all the schedule information in there this year for both our men and our women. And then ticket information on there as well for season tickets are still available if you'd like to purchase those, and single game tickets as well. Our men kick off their season on Tuesday night in a competition called the Michigan Milk Cup, where we're hosting Livonia City. And then we get started in league play a week from Saturday against the Michigan Bucks, who are perennially one of the top teams in the Premier Development League. Our women's team, kind of a scheduling quirk, we have four straight road games to start the season, mm-hmm. and we don't have a home game until June 10th. So a little bit of a scheduling quirk there, but we have a lot of home games for the women in June and the first part of July. So, again, really excited about that team getting started and hope that those people in the community who are excited about soccer will come out and support the women just like they have the men.
We look forward to following you all, Jeremy, and what will be now, again, with the fifth season for the men, as you just mentioned. And also, I'm getting some messages here in my inbox from a few of our listeners, and they want to know, is there any way that fans can purchase this year's jersey?
Yeah, that's a great question. Unfortunately, there was a little shipping snafu last night, and the jerseys weren't available at Moneyball, but I'm told they should be in. We're keeping our fingers crossed by our first game next Tuesday, so they always have an area available at our games where fans will be able to purchase those. If they're not there, they will be available at the Meridian Mall, their Meridian Mall location, which is where we were last night. Fans will be able to purchase them at that location. And then I'm going to ask them to put them online as well. So that we actually got a request today from England. A gentleman
wow.
on Twitter sent in and said, hey, I'd love the look of those. Can I order one? And so I've got Desmond and Jeff working on making sure we can get those online as well. So anybody around the world can make a purchase.
Well, you better believe I got to get my hands on one too, Jeremy. I'll be making that purchase for sure. All right. My man, Jeremy Sampson, president and CEO of Lansing United. Thank you so much for your time, Jeremy.
Sounds good, Al. Great to talk to you again. We'll look forward to seeing you at a couple games this summer.
Always. You got it, my friend. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Tony Towns, born and raised in Flint, Michigan. He is a MSU alum, writer, producer, actor, host. The dude does it all out in LA's entertainment industry. That chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a double whammy of guests coming at you. If you just missed segment A, where have you been? Are you living under a rock right now? If so, we just finished chatting with Jeremy Sampson, president and CEO of Lansing United, Lansing's very own minor league soccer team. Some great things coming for now year five with Lansing United, and this will be, again, the first season that LANU will have a women's team. Very cool stuff. If you missed that interview or any current sports episode, you know that you can simply visit WKAR.org and listen to any episode that we've done in the history of current sports. And right now, I want to get to our second guest for today's show. Tony Towns graduated from Michigan State University with a degree in broadcast journalism and a minor in political science. Soon after graduating, he moved from Flint Town to sunny Los Angeles, California, and pursued his dream of working in the entertainment business. He began working as the executive assistant to the vice president of production at Disney's ABC Studios, overseeing production on hit shows like Modern Family, Cougar Town, Desperate Housewives, Jimmy Kimmel Live, State of Georgia, Scandal, Revenge, just to name a few. A year later, Towns was hired as an executive assistant to the president of BET Networks. During his time at BET, Towns learned the power of investing in the people you work with and learned really what kind of boss he aspired to be. After 2 years with BET, he accepted a position as the associate producer of MGM's hit show, Paternity Court. Since then, Towns continues to build his name and expertise in the entertainment industry. He's worked on multiple TV productions, and in his spare time, he writes, produces, and acts in his own web series called Hitting the Town with Tony Towns. It is incredibly entertaining, and I am pleased to have Tony Towns now joining us via phone from the West Coast. Tony Towns, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
Al Martin, brother, it is a privilege, man. I'm really shocked that I'm even on this call with you. I am in sunny California. It is about 70 degrees right now. I'm sure the weather is amazing back there in Michigan, East Lansing. But, brother, it is beautiful here in L.A., so it's an honor to be on the phone with you.
Without a doubt, this has been in the works for quite some time, Tony. And again, you know, you talk about the weather. You got to rub it in our face. Even though, I must say, it's about, you know, it's nipping at 70 this week, but it's just a rainy day. It's springtime. What do you expect, right?
Exactly. It'll be 80 in the weekend here, so I understand. I mean, I'm sending much love and prayers y'all way to get some great weather.
Well, we appreciate that. All right, Tony, I want to start here. You know, your journey from Flint, Michigan, and again, as I noted, you are a Michigan State University graduate. Your journey from Michigan to L.A. is a really intriguing one. Can you just kind of just tell your story for us? Again, with this being your first time here on the show, I love with our first time guests to kind of talk about their journey, and especially yours, which is intriguing on so many levels. How did you end up in L.A.?
Well, the interesting part about it, when I was in high school, I went to Beecher High School right outside of Flint, Michigan, a great, great, great community of people. And when I was in school, Al, I'm going to be honest, I was a hustler. I was a hustler because I said that I live in America and my parents were not going to have to pay for me to go to college. So I started applying to every single scholarship I can get my hand on. And what I did was I formed a relationship with my guidance counselor, and she would call me, hey, Tony, we got some scholarships. Meet me in my office. Come in and sign up. Apply right away. And, bro, I applied to everything. Got so much scholarship money. One of the scholarships was presented by my teacher, Ms. Small, my science teacher. Mm-hmm. She said, if any of you guys in my class have an interest in media, you might want to check out this program called the Emma L. Bowen Foundation, which basically helped minorities get who had an interest in media get an apprenticeship to work in, at a local affiliate. And so I applied. I passed the interview, and I was placed at ABC 12 News, a local affiliate in Flint, and it was a four-year apprenticeship. So every summer, I would go back home and work in all the different departments at the news station, whether it was in programming, legal affairs, news, sales, every single department in the news station I was able to learn and work in before I decided I wanted to focus on news. So after I completed that, after 4 years, this program provided scholarship money, matching funds. It was an amazing program. So my mentor, Sandra Rice, who's the senior vice president of the Emma Ball Foundation, she called me right before I was about to graduate, and I was in my dorm room at Michigan State, and she said, so what are your plans after you graduate? And I said, well, maybe I'll just, you know, stay at Channel 12 and get a job there and focus on working at Channel 12, or like what many people do in Flint, I'll either work at GM or I'll go work at Hurley Medical Center. That mm-hmm. was kind of like my future at that time. And she said, no, that's not what you're going to do. She said, you're bigger than that. She said, you're bigger than that. There's more to life than just that. And I want you to think big, to dream big. As Coach Mark D'Antoni always says, she was saying that in like 2010. I need you to dream big. She said, there's an opportunity for you to apply for this entry-level position at Disney ABC Studios. You got to be willing to relocate. It's in Los Angeles. It's very competitive. You can apply, but it is tough to get in because thousands of people around the country apply. Mm-hmm. Cool. I applied. I was selected as one of the 18 finalists. And I said, okay. They said, but you can come here for the job interview, but you have to pay yourself to fly out here. You got to pay for everything yourself. So I called my granny, Miss Dorothy Mae Towns, and I said, Granny. And she said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I'm about to graduate from college, and, you know, I don't have enough money to go and purchase a plane ticket. But I got a possible opportunity to take a job in L.A. Do you mind loaning me the money to take the job interview? She said, son, whatever you want. She's like, I believe in you. She says, you've never let us down. You've always worked hard. You've never asked us for anything. The least I can do is help you go, you know, do the job interview. So Granny paid for the flight. Bless her heart. I got out there. I was selected as one of the people to actually get the job. I got the job, and they hired me on the spot. And they said, this was in May of 2010. They said, we need you to move out here July 1st of 2010. Never been to California. Never. And I accepted the job. I packed up my car, me and my grandfather, rest in peace. We packed up my car, and we drove from Flint, Michigan, all the way to Los Angeles, California, and that's how I started my journey.
What a story, Tony. And you talk about living in your destiny and having a backing, you know, behind you when it comes to your family and loved ones around you who supported you, man. That's one heck of a backing, my man. And you know what? You know, with you being from Flint, I also want to talk about the water crisis that I'm sure has affected you and your family. It's still affecting, you know, those who live in the city of Flint. We've seen various reports that have stated that, you know, free water is no longer a thing in Flint, Michigan. You still have, you know, some celebrities here and there and big names here and there helping out the cause down there. But for you, Tony, I mean, and it's got to be tough because, you know, you're miles and miles away now from family and friends who still live in those conditions from Flint, Michigan. How has the water crisis impacted you and your family?
Well, the interesting part about the Flint water crisis is people forgot. They have forgotten about the people of Flint. And I'm one of those people that I make sure every single chance I get to make sure to remind people, don't forget about Flint. Flint is one of the backbones to this country. The city of Flint is one of the backbone cities to this country, the automotive industry. How can we forget about the city that pretty much launched all the cars you see on the road now? It pretty much was a part of that history. And it's amazing how America forgot about its people, forgot about the backbone of its people, mm-hmm. because of how the media is geared. Whatever story is hot at the time, let's move on.
for me, that's not the case because it's personal. Because my family and my friends, they still live there. My father, I called my father one day just to follow up on the crisis, and he told me, you know, he was living in Flint. He said, man, I had to move outside the city because the water began to break my entire body out. So he began to break out from the water. Mind you, the mayor and everybody, the governor still said, you can drink the water. You still can use the water. And people were, because they trusted their elected officials, only to be let down and lied to for political reasons. And so my sister, I went home and I did an interview with my sister, how it's affected her, how it's affected my niece, having to get tested for lead levels, you know, how miserable it is. Then I went over to my grandmother's house and I opened up her garage door. There were tons of cases of water in her garage. And it shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Tons and tons of cases of water. So people still are affected there. And I just really hope that your listeners and people nationwide don't forget about the city of Flint. I'm sure there's progress being made, but there's not enough progress being made fast enough. The pipes need to be fixed. Thanks for sending water bottles, but we need money to fix the pipes. The pipes need to be replaced. The lead levels are high. The city of Flint is being poisoned. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, people of Flint are being poisoned, and those people are my family members. And so this is something personal to me, and I really hope that the government, instead of us focusing on building a wall to keep people out, let's focus on what we got going on here. The city of Flint, they need their water fixed. They need the pipes fixed. And I hope that the governor, who I feel is responsible for this, take more action. I just heard recently they said they were going to stop sending water to Flint, stop sending water bottles, which I think is crazy. So people are still affected. It's very personal. I talk about it all the time here in L.A. Anytime somebody say, oh, you're from Flint, it's like this stigma, oh, the water crisis. No, Flint is a city of great people. It's a great, great, resilient town.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many smart and intelligent and amazing people there, but it's being overshadowed by the water crisis. But let's not forget the people of Flint. So I'm going to keep pushing for my city, man. That's my home. That is my home.
Very well said, Tony. All right, I want to shift gears here and talk about, you know, all that you've done in Hollywood. I mean, we could do a whole hour show talking about everything that you've done out there, and you're still doing some amazing things and working on these big-time shows. Let's start at the foundation, though, Tony. What are the ingredients to, quote-unquote, making it in Hollywood?
Well, I think the thing is you have to figure out what you want to do. You have to sit down and figure out what you want to do. If you want to act, if you want to sing, if you want to direct, if you want to produce, a lot of people want to get in front of the camera. A lot of people want to write. But I think the thing is a lot of people don't understand about Hollywood, about L.A., is the fact you have to prepare yourself for rejection. You might have been a superstar back in your small hometown, but when you get to L.A., the small superstars all migrate to one place and trying to go after the same thing. So how do you separate yourself from everybody else? One of the things that I tell people all the time is if you're not in L.A., take advantage of the resources around you in the city you're in. So that means, you know, doing a photo shoot, getting some headshots. That means joining local plays. If you want to be an actor, if you want to be a writer, create local shows, have people come out, promote it on social media, and that way you create a reel. You can get content, you can get it on a reel, and then you can send the agencies to book you for different jobs. If there's universities or colleges near your hometown that have a film program, go to those colleges. They're looking for a lot of students to be, or a lot of people to be in their short films, because a lot of them have to do thesis projects and film projects. And they want to find talent, and they want to find talent cheaply because a lot of them don't have money to pay you. This is another way to get a reel, to get content to put on your reel to show, hey, here's me as an actor, an actress, or a writer. Here's some of my content. If you want to write, just write. Write, 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 write. Don't wait on Hollywood to come call you. If you want to create your own content, there's a thing called YouTube. And my brother, I'm one of those people. Though I work in the business, I'm taking advantage of the resources I have. Take advantage of the resources of the people around you. Don't be afraid to call people and say, hey, listen, I have this idea. Do you mind reading my script? Do you mind being a part of my project? I can't pay you. Reach across from the people that's right there that have a lot of experience in the things you want. Taking advantage of those people. And so I decided to do that with my own product. It's taking advantage of the people around me. Prepare for rejection. Prepare that not everybody is there for you. Not everybody wants you to succeed. Not everybody is happy for you. Knowing people's intent. That's one of the things in Hollywood that you quit to find. Not everybody's your friend. They just may be an associate. And some people may just use you to get to the next level or take advantage of your network. So build a strong network, understanding and compartmentalizing where do certain people align in your life. You have your close friends. You have your associates. You have your coworkers. Mm-hmm. You have to separate all that to realize in this business, not everybody's on the same page for what you want to do. Another thing is if you want to act, get a manager and an agent. One of the agencies is the WME agency, William Morris Endeavor. You got CAA. You got Innovative Artists. Go online and Google the top 10, the top 5 agents.
Tony
and
Towns.
One of the things people try to figure out is the fact that I want an agent, but sometimes you may want to go to a smaller agency because those agents are new and they're hungry to get you jobs. So that's some of the stuff that you can do if you want to get involved in the entertainment business.
Great tips there. And again, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we have about 9 minutes left talking with Tony Towns, MSU alum, who is a writer, producer, actor, and host in LA's entertainment industry. And Tony, I do want to get to hitting the town in just a moment. But before I get to that, of course, one of the big stories coming out of Hollywood is the whole Me Too campaign, right? You know, especially with the, you know, which really made a big splash with the whole Harvey Weinstein situation and actresses coming out and saying that, yeah, this happened to me. I was sexually harassed and abused. Mm-hmm. For you, when dissecting the Me Too campaign and the splash it's making in Hollywood, what ripple effects of that campaign have you seen personally on the sets that you work on?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I'm talking with Almar, you my brother, so I can be honest with you.
Please do.
And give you a little insight. It didn't affect a lot of people that I was around because, to be honest with you, a lot of people knew what was going on. People don't know in Hollywood. A lot of those stories that you hear about the director's chair, producer's chair with people, couch where they come in and they have to give up something to get somewhere, a lot of that is true, and Harvey Weinstein is one of those predators that did that to a lot of people, a lot of big-name people. But my thing is, here's where my problem lies with the Me Too movement, and I respect those women for standing up. The people that I look at sideways are a lot of the celebrities and powerful people who are the face of the Me Too movement who are like, yes, I stand with you. Yes, we got to make sure we bring down those people who are harassing our women, who are harassing our men. Wait a minute, celebrity, famous person. You knew Harvey Weinstein was doing this. You knew all along that this was a problem, and you never said anything. Now that it's a trend, now this is a popular thing to do, now you want to stand up and stand with the Me Too movement. But you knew, powerful person, you knew about this. You didn't say anything. Why? Because you didn't want your pockets affected. There's people online, and I will not say any names, some of our favorite celebrities that people love and adore that knew all along what Harvey was doing and didn't say a thing. And now all of a sudden, they're standing up saying, oh, we got to stand with the Me Too movement. Oh, there's a brighter days ahead. Oh, there's this, there's that. But wait a minute. There's pictures of y'all hanging out. You're a powerful person. You know what goes on in this business. Harvey's been doing this for 30, 40 years, and you never said anything. So that's my problem with it. A lot of people that knew about it didn't say anything. When it comes to the sets that I've worked on, a lot of the producers I work for, they make sure you know that none of that is accepted here. And if you have a problem, you see something, you say something, and that's something that was ingrained even when I first got in the business. So it hasn't affected a lot of people that I've worked with, but some people I've worked with have said they have their own stories of other jobs they've worked on where it was a situation. Mm-hmm. So it is true, and it happens in all arenas and fields. But since I work in Hollywood and since it's a big trend, a big story, again, there's a person in a big place in the White House that we can also take a look at too. But I'm not trying to start no drama. Again, I'm just an entertainer, so I don't know. We should look at all facets of this situation, not just Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby and R. Kelly. We should look at all facets, even in the political realm as well.
Can you tell that Tony holds no punches back?
And again,
that's just a little bit of what you can get from his online show via YouTube entitled Hitting the Town with Tony Towns. And you know, we got to get you back on, Tony, because there are a few other areas that I definitely want to hit on. And I don't know. How long is that snippet that we have in? Do we even have time to play that right now?
Yeah,
no?
We can play it.
We do. How long is it?
It's just a minute and a half.
A minute and a half, because, you know, let's
actually,
just
less than that.
It's less than that. Let's throw to that right now. And I want to ask Tony a quick question because we're running short on time. Let's play a bit of a snippet from Hitting the Town right now.
Now, I understand many of us respect the flag. We respect our men and women in uniform. But we don't seem to respect and value the people of color in this country. Colin Kaepernick is only protesting the injustices in this country, which he has the right to do. So to bash him, to not give him a job, is a travesty. Yet the president called the KKK racist alt-right people in Charlottesville some very fine people, America. We have some work to do. We really, really do. Hopefully more people that are not black protest this injustice too. Let me give you one example. America is all about money and wealth. You know a way to stop some of these clowns? Stop watching NFL games. Stop buying their products. Stop wearing their jerseys. That's the way to get action. Buying power. No ratings. That means no NFL money. We call this place the land of opportunity. The land of free. Freedom of expression. Freedom of religion. Let's start living out that truth, respecting those values, and supporting each other. I mean, that's the American thing to do, right?
Again, that's an excerpt from Hitting the Town with Tony Towns, as Tony, of course, weighed in on the Colin Kaepernick protest of kneeling during the national anthem. Tony, you know, I definitely want to have an elaborate conversation when it comes to your views on the NFL protest. We heard your stance just then. But when talking about the overall product of Hitting the Town with Tony Towns, how is Hitting the Town a representation of how media and content distribution is really changing today in 2018?
Well, the amazing thing is, I said reaching across, working with people that's going to stretch you out and working with people that have the same mindset as you. And one of the people I work with was my producer, Jesus Heredia, who I work with at BET. What we decided to do was for him Hitting the Town. Mind you, we both work in a business, but we also felt like there was another creative outlet that we can tap into, because I was at a point in my life where I felt like I wasn't moving forward. I wasn't moving backwards. I just felt stuck. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel that way. I just felt stuck, and I needed a creative outlet because I'm an entertainer. That's what I do. I produce content for people to consume. And with Hitting the Town, we wanted to make people laugh. We wanted to for people to have a voice. A lot of people on the street, man on the street situation, they don't have a voice. So we wanted to give them a creative outlet, give them a voice via our show Hitting the Town. And man, we hit the town in all places. We talk to blacks, white, Asians, Hispanic, gay, straight. We go everywhere, to BET Awards, we go to AdultCon, we go to places that most people are afraid to go.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are interested in knowing what it's about, but they're afraid to go, or they don't know anything about it. And so we are that show, that platform, to say, you know what, forget being fearful, we're going to be bold, we're going to give people a voice, we're going to go out there and cover things that a lot of people don't cover. And it's been a very much a joy to my life, because I'm using whatever resource I have. You got a camera and a microphone, and I got somebody who can edit. That's the way to do it. Don't wait on Hollywood to give you anything.
Create your
own, and they'll come to you, I promise you.
My man, Tony Towns. We'll be sure to put the information on how they can check out your show online. Tony, we got to have you back, my man. Thanks so much for your time, all right?
Brother, anytime, Al. You keep doing it, man. We're watching you. We're proud of you. I'm a spark.